from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
All right, there is an idea circulating the interweb. Let's talk about it. So on Royals Review, there is a story, and the headline says, could the Royals play in Kansas on the state line? So there was a rendering, an idea. This idea comes from Rob Heideman. You guys have heard of him before. He is the co-owner of Sporting Kansas City. I've met Rob a couple of times. Nice guy. So he did this rendering. He and his company put it together. And I will say, the stadium looks pretty nice. The story then goes on to say, our guy Sam McDowell for the Star says, a player could launch a baseball from Kansas and deposit it into another state entirely. A shot from Kansas to Missouri. And let me tell you here, Quinn, these people really took time, Rob Heineman and his crew. They got like a whole little map and, hey, the stadium could be here, but here's where a state line could be, that the stadium could be in Kansas, but some of it could be on the Missouri side. I mean, everybody can be happy here. No. Number one, let's just get this part. That is a terrible place to put the stadium. A really, really bad place to put the stadium. I don't want to say this, but I got to say it. If that's the option that they're going with, I'd rather them just go out by the Legends. I honestly rather them go out by the Legends. That is a much better place to put the baseball stadium than next to the Kansas River. If that's where they're telling me that their plan is to put the stadium, with that highway access, if you guys hated the idea of putting it in North Kansas City, we now like the idea of putting it in the West Bottoms next to the Kansas River. A terrible idea. If you're telling me right now, and I say this as somebody who voted yes, I am Missouri through and through. You guys know where I stand on this. I'd rather them really be in Kansas if this is going to happen. Why I say this is known. At this point, somebody has to be mad. I know it doesn't sound good, and I know some of you in the Kansas side, like, you have got it, and you already got the teams over there. You already got the Chiefs right next to the Speedway. You already got the Royals out there next to the Legend. You've already put it in your mind that's where the teams are going to go. And it might not go the way that you want it to go. Some of you on the Missouri side, I would say I'm probably on this side. You just don't believe they're moving over there. You know, you have convinced yourself, oh, man, this is leverage. Oh, they're going to stay. Clark is just listening to Kansas, but in the end, he wants to stay. Oh, the Royals, they want to move downtown. There's no chance they're going to. People are strong about this on both sides. Either you already have them moving over to Kansas, or you don't think there's any chance they're going to go over there. This is all a smokescreen. This is all a ploy for leverage. Someone is going to be mad. And this rendering is like trying to make everybody happy. I mean, the stadium is actually in Kansas, but you guys can have the hotels and the entertainment district. What? Where else in the country does this idea exist? We're just now going to share the stadium? No, somebody has to own this thing. So whether it's Missouri owns it, whether it's Kansas owns it, they get all of it, not a piece of it. We think the Royals are going to sign up for, all right, well, we now have to deal with both of them. Right now, we only got to deal with one of them. We only got to deal with Jackson County. Now, we want a scenario where we got to talk to Johnson County or Wyandotte County about this part of the stadium. But now, we got to deal with Jackson County about this other part of the stadium. How does that benefit the Royals? So, I get it, right? We all want to come up with a scenario in which everybody can win. Part of being an adult is you start to realize more and more, sometimes people are going to be mad. Sometimes your mother-in-law, she just got to be mad. You might not want her to be mad, but it's two people that are going to be mad. It's either you or her. And which one are you picking to be mad? You picked her in this scenario. So yes, one of us on the side of state line is not going to like how this story ends. Whether it's you in Kansas and you are hell-bent that they are coming to Kansas, or you live in Missouri, and let's be honest, part of your identity of living in Kansas City, Missouri, is that the teams are on your side of state line. That we love to say that the Kansas people have to come over here. Let me tell you this, if they get the teams, they ain't really coming over here as much anymore. What would you come over here for? What is there to do over here? You ain't coming over here for the plaza. What are you coming over here? If you're Rob and you live on 135th and Metcalf, what are you coming over to the Missouri side for if you don't have to come over there anymore to see the teams? You're telling me I never got to go over there for a Royals game or a Chiefs game. I don't have to see a movie over there. I don't have to go over there for some of the nicest restaurants in this. What am I going to Missouri for? What's on that side of state line? So again, I love the creativity. I love that we're all trying to figure out a way that we all can be happy and we can band together and we can hold hands and we can all be on the same team. Kansas, I say this respectfully, I don't want to be on your team. And it sounds like, based on what the Kansas governor is saying, you guys don't want to be on our team. Now, great. If they move over to the Kansas side, will I be mad? Sure. I will be happy that they're staying in the area. Yeah, but you know what you're going to do if you live in Kansas? If you live in Olathe and you grew up in Olathe, you grew up in Johnson County, you will remind me for the rest of my life that you took the teams away. That's what you should do. As much as Frank White and the mayor don't want to acknowledge there is a rivalry between us, there is a border war, there is that competition. Maybe there shouldn't be. And maybe we are all being juvenile in the way that we treat it, but it's real. It is a thing. I know it. You know it. And they have to know it too. The Kansas people realize that. And they realize that they got a chance to take something incredibly special from you. Think of the cities that have a football team and a baseball team in their city limits. Think about the cities that they are. It's a very small group of places that have what we have. So if you don't take care of it properly, if you don't treat it right, you can lose it. That's what this conversation is about. Now, it's losing it in a relative sense. They're not moving to Nashville. They're not moving to San Antonio. They're not leaving the area, but they certainly can move to Wyandotte County. They certainly can move to Johnson County. I mean, that's what this conversation is. That's going to be the next year or so of our life, is trying to figure this thing out. Jackson County had a chance to answer that question. They didn't answer it appropriately. And now Kansas and Laura Kelly and her team, they're putting together a significant package to take it away from you.
And why would the Royals accept sort of doing this hybrid thing? And why would Kansas, more importantly, accept this? Because part of the draw is that you're getting the baseball team, but you're also getting everything that develops around the baseball stadium, like we see in other cities around the United States that have built these stadiums that are, whether they're inside of the heart of downtown or are built in suburban areas, right? The benefit of that is what spurs around it. Why would Kansas forfeit that? Why would Kansas say, we're building the stadium, which is the big draw, but you can have, you know, 30% of the rest of the draw? No, that doesn't make any sense. You want as much as you can get from it. So there's no way Kansas would give these star bonds to be like, yeah, we're going to pay for the stadium, but you can get the rest of the stuff. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here and I'm just looking at it, and it's just, on some things you can't compromise. And like, it sounds good, right? Like, we can just share this thing and we can hold hands and we can work together. And in the end, no, sometimes someone has to lose. There has to be a winner and a loser. Someone is going to win the stadium. Someone's going to win Arrowhead. We know there's three possible options. It's Wyandotte. I don't think it's going to Johnson County. So it's two options. It's either Wyandotte County or Jackson County. There's no scenario where they are splitting it. There's none. There's no scenario where part of Kauffman's going to be in Kansas and the other half is going to be in Missouri and we're going to. No, we don't do that on anything. Why would we think we would share this on the most important thing? This is the most important thing that Kansas City, Missouri has, are these two entities. Now we think we're going to share them? No, that is not how this goes. I don't want to share it with you guys. I really don't. I don't want Kansas to have any part of it. Come over here. You pay your tax over here. You get your beer and go back home. Go across state line. We don't want you over on this side for any other reason. That's how you should feel if you live on this side. And if you're on the other side, you should want to take what we have. That's just the competition that has been built if you live here. Mayor Quinn Lucas knows this. Frank White knows this. So for them to be talking this, let's hold hands and work together, that is not the way Laura Kelly is approaching this thing. Laura Kelly is out here. She is making deals. She is working. She is doing what the governor of a state should do. We got a chance to attract an NFL team. If you guys don't want them, we are happy. They are putting together a tax package that could allow them to pay for 75% of the stadium. They have been waiting for this day that you fumbled, that you slipped up to take your stadium away from you. And if they get that opportunity, the compromise is not them splitting it with you. No, we don't want half of the pie. We want the entire thing. We got Josh Verner coming up in 15 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
All aboard!
Kansas City is Justin Reed. You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Josh Verner, our Royals insider. I was thinking this question as we are wrapping up the NBA season, sort of on both sides of the coin. Who is the young player that I would like to see get a championship? Who is the aging vet that I would like to see get their first ring? The reason I was thinking of this is Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum went to Chaminade High School from St. Louis, had a, I would say, a solid college career. Like, he was a great college player. He had a good college career at Duke. He has now turned out to be one of the 5 to 10 best players in the NBA. He gets his first championship. Then on the aging player, Al Horford. Now, Al Horford was in college when I was in college. Al Horford played against AC Law in the Big 12 his freshman year. He now got his first championship. Congratulations to Al Horford getting his first ring. So I was wondering, and I'll ask you guys this question, 913-586-7610. Let's start with the young player. Now, I know where I am and I know where I live, and maybe I should have a different answer. The young player I want to see win a championship is Lamar Jackson. That's who I want to see win a championship. If it can't be the Chiefs and it can't be Patrick Mahomes, at some point, somebody else is going to win a championship, right? I don't think Mahomes is going to win all the Super Bowls. Some other quarterback is going to win one. If I had to pick one of them, Q, I'm picking Lamar Jackson. I'm picking Lamar Jackson mostly for this reason. People have got it in their minds that you cannot win a championship with that kind of player. I just want to see him do it. You know, I want to see him stay healthy. I want to see him at some point shake the unable to perform in the postseason bug and eventually get to the top of the mountain. Mahomes has 3 rings and 4 appearances. It'll be okay if somebody else gets one at some point. Other people got him while Brady was playing. I think Brady was the only one to win a championship. I saw Eli Manning get 2 of them while he was playing. I saw Russell Wilson get one while he was playing. I saw Peyton Manning get another one while he was playing. Other people are going to win Super Bowls at some point. I don't know if that's going to be this year because this Chiefs team is loaded. But if you're asking me right now, Quentin, if I could just say, all right, who's the young player that I want to see get a championship? I just saw Jason Tatum. Cross him off the list. Doesn't matter what Jason Tatum does between now and the end of his career, you will always be able to say he is a champion. I pick Lamar Jackson. He'd be my pick.
This is kind of a, it's not a cop-out, but I don't know if you can really say he's young. I want to see Shohei Ohtani in playoff baseball. I want to see Shohei in that atmosphere. He's 29, but he's young to the MLB because he played over in Japan for so long. So maybe you can tell me if that's like a cop-out or not, but I want to see Shohei Ohtani in playoff baseball in the biggest moment, because we never got that while he was playing with the Angels. So Shohei is my immediate answer, but you can determine whether or not that's like, he's technically not young.
No, I mean, it's definitely coming up. I mean, you're certainly going to get that opportunity this year. I mean, you play for the Dodgers. He's going to make the playoffs this year. Oh, yeah. We're going to see. We were talking about this last week. I know you weren't here last week. But Mike Trout should have done what Shohei did. Hey, I gave you guys my 20s. I'm also not giving you guys my 30s. Like, we kind of talk about Shohei, and maybe people don't think this. Shohei's been playing baseball now in the States for a while. Like, we're not talking about a guy who just got here like 2-3 years ago. This is now year 7 for Shohei. He got here at 23, and he is now 30 years old. I gave you guys my 20s. I'm not giving you guys my 30s. I mean, Mike Trout started in Los Angeles at 19 years old. He's now 31 years old. Like, I gave you all of my prime. I do like the fact that Shohei was like, no, I'm not giving you any more of my prime. And now look, Shohei is incredible. He has 21 home runs this year, 53 RBIs. So Shohei right now has the most runs, the most home runs. He's hitting .318 and has a .615 slug percentage. I know it's like become cool to say that Bobby Witt Jr. is the best player in baseball, and he's phenomenal. The best player in baseball is Shohei Ohtani until proven otherwise.
Yeah, that's why it's like I can't tell you if it's like a cop-out or not, but I really do want to see Shohei Ohtani in the biggest moments, especially if he was pitching again. Like, seeing him as that dual player again in the playoffs, in the World Series, that would just be phenomenal baseball, and I would soak up every minute of it.
I'm just thinking now about who the older player would be that I would like to see win a championship. Do you have the Al Horford type? The guy has really been paying his dues. He's played 13, 14, 15 years in the league. He's had his heartbreak. He's had his ups and downs. And now you're at the point that, you know, kind of like how Jason Kidd got his ring at the end. Remember, Jason Kidd got his ring for the Dallas Mavericks. Who's that guy, that older, that veteran player that you're like, man, you know what? I always really liked that guy. I wouldn't mind if he got a championship.
Is it Mike Trout?
Is it Trout?
Now? Yeah, I know. Just because, I mean, last time I was on the show, we talked about Mike Trout and being similar to J.J. Watt, which I know you disagreed with, but I think Mike Trout would be, in terms of baseball, would definitely be my first guy, because he's played, what, 3 playoff games in his career, and he got swept by the Royals in 2014. So the Royals have been to the playoffs more recently than Mike Trout has. I think that would definitely be just the very first one that comes to my mind.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who some NFL examples would be. People on the text line are saying, what about Kirk Cousins? Someone said, I'd like to see Derek Carr be that player. DeAndre Hopkins would be that player. Yeah, who's that guy that's like Al Horford? They're like, you just like them. They've been in the league double-digit years. They're just a good player. You just like them, you know? You don't know a single person has a bad thing to say about Al Horford. You know what Al Horford does? Mind his business. Al Horford just stays out there. He shoots a couple of threes. He gets back on defense. He makes the right pass. He's never been in the middle of any controversy. How could you not like Al Horford? Basketball legend Al Horford, 2-time NCAA champion. Now he's finally got his ring. He's 38 years old. He's the second oldest player in the league behind LeBron. I love Al Horford.
I'm trying to think that I don't want to say I definitely don't want to say an AFC quarterback, but it's difficult.
Go ahead and pick one like I did.
I mean, it's difficult just because there are so many talented guys. And one of the best things about sports is that you get to see, you know, the best players play in, like, you know, the moment. Like, I would like to see Josh Allen type, you know, make a deeper push in the playoffs. But, you know, if it's not Patrick Mahomes, I do think that Josh Allen gets a really hard rap sometimes just because of the team around him. And I do think that team just in itself is dysfunctional. So I would like to see Josh Allen really prove to people that he is better than maybe hear the Kansas City bias because he keeps losing to Patrick Mahomes. I would like to see Josh Allen really make a push and prove that he truly is a top 5 quarterback.
I would say that Kansas City used to have this guy on their team. That was a while ago.
Tony Gonzalez?
That guy used to be Tony Gonzalez.
Exactly.
Yeah. That guy used to be Tony Gonzalez. The guy who played for a long time, never got a championship, never got close to a championship. He finally got his chance. Tony Gonzalez was that guy. You want to know who that guy was not that long ago? Was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everybody would have been super happy. Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford was also that guy.
He definitely was on that, yeah.
Matthew Stafford paid his dues with the Lions. You always liked his toughness, always knew he had great ability. He left the Rams, or he left the Lions, went to the Rams, and won a championship his first year. Matthew Stafford was 100% on this list a couple of years ago.
I think there are a lot of, like, older veteran players that either played for one team or played sort of like Tony Gonzalez did, where he played with one team for 99% of his career, left, and then still didn't get it. So, like, J.J. Watt is one of those guys where it's like you really wanted to see him. The only thing he's missing out of his career is that Super Bowl ring, multiple defensive player of the year guy, you know, helped save the city of Houston after a hurricane. Like, that's definitely a guy. If you go with, like, guys that are retired, Megatron, right? I mean, that's... It's a shame that he never got to show his moves, his abilities in the upper echelon of the NFL.
Coming up in a little bit, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier. Vern's going to be on the show here coming up in a little bit. We haven't talked a lot of Royals baseball today. We'll do that, obviously, coming up here with Vern in just a little bit. I'm a little disappointed, guys. Now, I know it's just one series. I don't want to overreact to one series, but this Royals team just can't. They just can't get going again. You know, there was a time there where it felt like every time the Royals went to the casino, they were leaving with money in their pocket. I mean, that certainly is how May was. The Royals just could not lose. The Royals, once again, are in the back of a losing streak. We're now talking about a team that has won three of its last 11 games. So we're just talking about a team that hasn't really played well of late, struggling, a little up and down, a little inconsistent. It's been back and forth for a while. I mean, to lose that series to Oakland the way that they did, just no. No, just ugh. You just don't like it. You just got to shake it off here. So the Royals go to Texas. They got Miami coming up here next week. And then they got four games against the Cleveland Guardians. And we'll see if they can win that series. I was pretty clear, at least with my stance on this. Hey, the Royals got nine games. They had nine games against Oakland, Texas, and Miami. Neither one of those teams are over 500. You had to at least win five of those games. Now, you lose the first series. I mean, if you win these next two series, you win the Texas series, you win the Miami series, you go a minimum 5-4 during that stretch. It's a no harm, no foul against Oakland. But, I mean, this stretch was supposed to be the one. All right, we got past the tough part of our schedule. Now we get a little bit of room to run for a little bit. I mean, Oakland is not good. Texas is down this year. Miami is bad. You got Tampa Bay after Cleveland. They're a team that's hovering around 500 right now. Colorado is bad this year. Boston's not that good this year. I mean, as you head into the All-Star break, I mean, we're starting to wrap up the first half of the season. Like, it's going to be here before you know it. Now's the time to start getting healthy and start getting right and start playing some of your better baseball. And that, at least in the short term, has not happened for the Royals. Coming up on the other side, we'll get Vern's take on this. Our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. What does it mean that they lose the series to Oakland? And can they turn things around against Texas? That's all coming up. Vern up next. Keep it right here.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, Kansas City, this is Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by our Royals insider. Josh Vernier joins us on the show today to recap the week for the Royals and also look ahead to this weekend series against Texas. Vern, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing terrific. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I know you didn't get a chance to watch the game from start to finish because the Royals were playing yesterday. I guess, no, they actually didn't play. They had a day game yesterday, so you did get a chance to watch the Negro Leagues game yesterday from Rick Wood in Birmingham, Alabama. What did you make of it? I thought that baseball put together an A-plus broadcast, and baseball has such an inventory. I wish they did more games like that over the course of the season.
Yeah, even if you had 82 games in the season, you could still do something special like that. No, it was terrific from start to finish. I mean, you flip on the TV and at one booth, it's Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, and Big Papi. If we're starting there, and it's only going to get better, yeah, it was a magical night of baseball. Fox did a great job. Bob Kendrick, of course, did a great job. Major League Baseball did a great job, and they've been doing a great job of late, as Bob Kendrick pointed out on MLB Network. Dating back to starting to take care of the Negro League baseball players as far as a pension is concerned, putting them in the record books, putting them in MLB The Show, showing them the appreciation that they deserve. And I thought Bob Kendrick was, it made me emotional listening to him on MLB Network before the game, a few days before the game. He said, man, these interactions that I'm having with these guys, it's clear that this this recognition at Rickwood, this recognition is going to add, years to their lives. And, hearing that from Bob Kendricks, who's gotten to know a lot of these guys on a personal basis, the guys that are still around that played in the Negro Leagues, to think that, by Major League Baseball shining a light on them, that you are extending their lives, man. I don't know how that doesn't make you feel anything but joyous.
I mean, I talked about this earlier today. I thought baseball did a really good job yesterday of understanding its history as a whole. That baseball is obviously a lot of good things. Baseball also represents some of the bad things, too. Like, baseball was rooted in racism for a time. There was a time where it was segregated. Like, that's what makes the Negro League so important. That's what makes Jackie Robinson so important. I thought baseball understood that and gave it the proper care that you're right. To have Reggie Jackson on that stage yesterday, to have Barry Bonds and have Ken Griffey Jr. and celebrate the way that they did yesterday, I really thought baseball understood the importance of the moment last night.
And the individuals did. Right. I mean, Reggie Jackson being that vulnerable, that's understanding the situation and understanding that not only the guys that were surrounding you, but a lot of people watching needed to hear that, needed that reminder, needed that education for some. I thought that was key. You know, Barry Bonds just lost a guy that's very important to him, right? And his godfather and Willie Mays, and he shows up, and Willie Mays' son shows up. So, yeah, Major League Baseball recognized the importance of its past, but even on an individual basis, a lot of men and women that were going through a pretty trying time put the game first, put Willie Mays first, put the history of the game first, and also thought that should be recognized.
Last thing about this, Vernon, we'll get to the Royals and talk about this week against Oakland, also looking ahead against Texas. One thing that frustrates me about baseball is they try to make it seem like at least our childhood didn't happen. Like, you and I are around the same age. I grew up with McGuire. I grew up with Sosa. I grew up with Barry Bonds. And it seems like baseball has done a whole lot to kind of run away from that history. It was cool to see Barry Bonds a part of everything that was going on yesterday. I'm not sure if that would have been the case 10, 15 years ago. And you mentioned the relationship between Mays and Bonds. You had to have Barry Bonds there yesterday, and I'm happy that Bonds agreed to do it, and Bonds came off as really likable yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that's time heals all wounds, or time has a way of getting rid of some of the good and the bad, really, to be quite honest with you. You remember what you want. And I'm sure there are some people that saw Barry Bonds on television yesterday and for some reason got upset by it. I'm a lot like you. I'm watching this going, yeah, you know, I mean, he was arguably, I mean, right there with his godfather as the greatest baseball player to ever grace Earth. But to me, you had to step away from Barry Bonds. If I'm being quite honest with you, if you're Bud Selig, if you're Rob Manfred early on, you couldn't run back into Barry Bonds' arms, and he wasn't going to run back into your arms because it wasn't time yet. Baseball hadn't recovered, in my opinion. Now, baseball's not flourishing, but it's kind of settled into where I believe it's going to be for years to come, which is, you know, like the NBA, like the NHL and MLS, they're all in the wake of the NFL. So, yeah, I think Barry Bonds can come back in the good graces of Major League Baseball. Shoot, Alex Rodriguez is Mr. Major League Baseball all of a sudden, even though, you know, he sued the league and they sued him back and they hated each other and they were sneaky behind one another's backs. Now, the Hall of Fame is a completely different entity, so I still don't think Barry Bonds finds his way in the Hall of... Well, obviously he can't get voted in. He'll I believe, eventually get voted in by the Veterans Committee, but we're still a few years away from that.
I guess I have one more question related to this. You're throwing so much at me. I have so many questions to ask you, Vern. I always like getting your perspective on this kind of stuff. I think if I had asked you last week, who's the greatest living baseball player, your answer would have been Willie Mays, and that would have been a great answer. Now that Willie Mays has passed, who's in that conversation? Are you putting Bonds number one? You putting Griffey number one? I think Shohei has to be in that conversation, given his versatility, where, I mean, we're talking about a guy that could hit three home runs for you and he could pitch seven innings. There's no other baseball player in the world that could do that. Now that Willie Mays has passed, how would you kind of handicap that conversation of who's the greatest living baseball player?
Well, Mike Schmidt is in the conversation. Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds, though, to me, for as much as I think Alex Rodriguez should be in this conversation, to me it's Barry Bonds or Ken Griffey Jr. And because, you know, Griffey was injured and Bonds wasn't, you lean towards Bonds, although the reason why Barry was able to recover so much was, well, because he was, you know, shooting himself up with you know, performance-enhancing drugs. So, yeah, I'll still go with Barry Bonds, but Shohei Ohtani is the greatest weapon the sport has ever seen. You know, if he returns to pitching, he returns to being the greatest thing, the greatest weapon this sport has ever seen. But right now, you know, Shohei Ohtani's one of the best players in the game, and a great, but, you know, I heard you mention earlier that, you know, he's still the best. No, if he's not pitching, he's not the best player in baseball. You know, it's Gunnar Henderson, it's Bobby Witt Jr., it is somebody else. If you're just a designated hitter, even if you're the best hitter on the planet, you're not giving me anything else. I'll take the shortstop, I'll take the center fielder, I'll take the catcher.
All right, let's transition to
Johnny Bench also deserves a shout out as well.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Johnny Bench is in that conversation right there with Mike Schmidt, Ken Griffey Jr., and Barry Bonds.
Right now we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. All right, Vern, let's talk about the Royals. I was excited for the Royals week to end last week. They had the Yankees, they had the Dodgers. It didn't go as people wanted it to go. But you know what? It's a fresh week. They got the Oakland A's. It's one of the five worst teams in baseball.
Let's eat.
They lost that series. How did they lose? Why did they lose that series against the A's?
Well, in my opinion, they lost the series because of pitching. You know, Alec Marsh gives up seven runs in the opener, records only nine outs. Carrington, in my opinion, and I've stated this way too much, and you're probably bored hearing it, but, you know, as long as this pitching staff, this rotation remains elite, and the defense remains elite, and the team speed remains elite, those are the most powerful weapons in the game of baseball. If those things are elite, then you, the Royals, are going to be elite. That's how they won 17 games in April, a historic month of April, was because their rotation was one of the five best in the sport. The defense was one of the three best, and they were the best base-running team in the game. They followed that up and maintain those numbers in the month of May, but that hasn't happened in June. I mentioned Alec Marsh in the opener. Look, Cole Reagans was fine. He was good. He was very good. Threw a quality start Wednesday in Oakland, but I view Cole Reagans the way that it appears Royals fans view Seth Lugo. I look at Cole Reagans, and when the team needs a big win and he's on the hill, I have, superstar expectations for him. Real ace, Clayton Kershaw type of expectations. Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, the greats, where you say, you know, Cole, I don't care what that other starting pitcher does on the other side. I need you to do him one better. Right? If Josh Allen throws a touchdown and only leaves you 13 seconds left, well then, Patrick, I need you to go down the field and do him one better. That's how I view Cole Reagans. And he was unable to answer the bell on Wednesday's game. The walks came back to bite him. The walks turned into the game-winning runs for that Oakland team. So, you know, to me, I blame starting pitching, but the fans and Royals listeners, at least to the postgame show, have let me know that that's not how we should view Cole Reagans. That's how we should view Seth Lugo, and I was being too tough on the lefty.
Vern, I'm looking at the last month for the Royals, and understandably, they started to play their toughest stretch of the season. Over the last month, they have had a stretch where they have lost 7 of 9 games. They're currently in the stretch where they have lost 8 of their 11 games. What do we attribute this to? Is this injuries? Is this regression? Is this sort of falling back to the mean? What do you attribute the fact that, I mean, in May, we're talking about a team that was scorching red hot for the first, I don't know, 50 or so games of the season. That has not been the case for the last 25 or so.
Yeah, I hate to sound repetitive, but again, starting pitching. You know, that's the difference. The point, I'm sure, where your stretch of games begins lines up with the loss of Michael Wacha. You lose that stability that he brought, that they all bring, right? The starting five that this rotation had to open up the season. Very good, right? And they stayed healthy for the first 2 months of the season, and that's why the Royals had one of the best run differentials in the game of baseball, because they had great starting pitching, great defense, and they always took that extra 90 feet on the base pass. Wacha goes down. Daniel Lynch joins the rotation. Dan Altavilla gets an opener's role here. You see some regression from the rotation, right? We knew the rotation wasn't going to finish the season with a sub-2 ERA or a 2.5 ERA. So, you know, occasionally Seth Lugo has a 5-run outing against the Cleveland Guardians, but pitched well. Final line didn't look great. Brady Singer has a stinker here. Cole Reagans has a stinker there. And, you know, those things start to add up. The rotation was outstanding in the first 2 months of the season. We're seeing slight regression, but honestly, in my opinion, you're seeing just poor performances. And yes, again, the injury to Wacha, I'm sure the injury to Massey and Renfro have obviously hurt the defense and the offense. But again, to me, everything with this team begins on the mound with that rotation, in the field with their defense, and on the base pass with their team speed. Without those things being elite, they're a middle-of-the-road team fighting for a third playoff spot, which they're not far from as we speak.
Yeah, I think a big part of it, too, and this is, I 100% agree with what you're saying, is, I mean, they had a stretch where they were playing on a pace where they were going to win 106 games. I just never thought that was very realistic, obviously, that this team was probably between an 85 to 88 win team. I think what you're seeing is, I mean, that's kind of what they're starting to even out to be. So what I've tried to do, Vern, is I've tried to break it up into kind of how a football schedule works. You had a 9-game stretch against Oakland, Texas, and Miami leading into that series against Cleveland. I wanted them to at least go 5-4. You lost one series to Oakland. You got to win this series against a Texas team that has never really caught its footing this year. And Miami, like Oakland, they're one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, again, to me, I'm not even so much focused on wins and losses. To me, and again, I hate to sound so repetitive, but it really is simple for this team. You know, if this rotation stays healthy, if your key defenders stay healthy, you're going to be there in the end. I look at this pitching matchup this weekend, Brady Singer against Nate Eovaldi tonight. Eovaldi was a stud in the home stretch last season into the postseason. You know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Royals are underdogs tonight. You know, tomorrow, Michael Wacha coming back from injury, going opposite Max Scherzer, who's coming back from injury. Alec Marsh in the finale, maybe against a guy like John Gray. I mean, all three of these games, I would expect Texas to be the favorite. So I'm not setting any sort of expectation of wins or losses against. I mean, you can't get swept, obviously. You need to win your games at home, win your homestand. So when they come back and play 7 against the Marlins in Cleveland, you got to go 4-3 at home. But as long as they get a solid outing, you know, as long as Singer, Waka, and Marsh give them a chance to win, as long as the defense isn't the reason why you lose, man, I can understand the bullpen blowing one in Texas or the, you know, the offense unable to come through with a big start from someone in that Marlins rotation. I can understand them losing a game or two here, dropping a series there. But if they win, and it's because of a big offensive output, you know, that can be misleading. That stuff's not going to, that's not going to last, in my opinion, in September and in October. The reason why you sit 8 games above .500 is because of that rotation. So to me, just keep giving me good starting pitching and everything's going to be just fine.
I got two things, Vern, before I get you out of here. I don't know if you saw this week, but they did a shortstop draft on ESPN. Mm. It was crazy to me to see Bobby Witt Jr. go number one on that list. And maybe this is just me. It's just I don't watch nearly as much national baseball. But just seeing how deep the position was, like my initial reaction was, hey, there's more great shortstops in the league than we got great quarterbacks in the NFL. Like it was such a deep list where you're telling me a guy like Trey Turner is not in the top five shortstops, and then to see Bobby Witt Jr. number one on that list, I came away really impressed, and I hope people understand, I think they're understanding it, how special Bobby Witt Jr. is, how important he is, and how you have him locked up for the next couple of years, the next decade, basically, how important that is for an organization like Kansas City.
Yeah, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. And you heard, I don't know if you heard, Dayton Moore was on with Fesco the other day, and he was talking about Bobby, and you could hear it in his voice. His, hey, we kept him in the minor leagues because at that time there's, you know, he wouldn't say this, but I didn't think there was a chance in hell that we were going to sign him long term. And he gave credit to JJ and John Sherman for getting that done. But no, yeah, who would have thought that Bobby Witt Jr. would give over his 20s to Kansas City? And again, we're talking about a Major League Baseball where he could go anywhere. You know, this isn't the NFL where everyone is on the biggest stage every single Sunday. No, Bobby does everything better than just about everybody. Runs the bases, his arm at shortstop, you know, power, hits for average. I mean, he's leads the American League in batting average. He's, you know, second only to Luis Arraez as far as base hits. Only Shohei and Judge have more extra base hits. Statistically, he's the best defensive shortstop on the planet. I mentioned he's the fastest player in the game as far as sprint speed. So, you know, yeah, he can make a case, or you can make a case right now, that he is the best baseball player on the planet because of what you mentioned. He's playing the most taxing position, you know, outside of catcher, but the most taxing position on the diamond, where you put your best player, right? Little League, you put him at shortstop, you put him at pitcher. As they continue to mature, you pick one or the other. You're either a shortstop or a pitcher. Of course, unless you're Shohei, and then he probably could do both. But for now, he's just DH in pitching.
Last thing here, Vern, I'll get you out of here. How can baseball be so bad at jerseys and hats? Like, this should be your business. I just saw those All-Star Game hats. They're all terrible. Like,
I haven't seen them. Those hats last night were nice.
Yeah, no, they
were supposed
really
to hate
good.
St. Louis, but those were nice.
So what I want you to do, Vern, is I want you to go Google right now the All-Star hats and just – how can they mess the All-Star hats up? Just have them wear the hats that they wear and put a patch on the side. How can we mess this up year after year after year?
I agree. I did see some Northwest Arkansas. They have a July 4th hat that they're coming out with. If your name starts with N, or if you have a nickname that starts with N, those are really cool hats that I would recommend you grabbing right now. I'm not seeing the... Listen, you're 100% right. We both grew up in a generation where the players would wear their jerseys, both in the NBA and in Major League Baseball. Hang on. What? They're like salmon-colored? Salmon-colored for the American League and like Marlins colors for the National League?
They're terrible.
In Texas?
It doesn't make any sense. No, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how baseball can mess up jerseys and caps the way that they have this year. This just seems like the most simplistic thing ever.
You talked about it a few weeks ago. Caps are kind of like the last thing that baseball has that's uniquely theirs, that's still cool for all ages. Quit blowing it, baseball.
That is my guy, Josh Fern. You're joining us on the show today. Our Royals insider talking a little baseball. Thanks, Vern.
All right, thank you.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the stadium issue that continues on, and last night was a banner day in the sport. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.